Thank you, our pastor, Brother Chick.
Amen. Let's turn to the book of John, chapter 7. The book of John, chapter 7. Isn't the Lord good? Amen. Oh, man. You say, well, I've had a rough week. I tell you what, I'd rather have a rough week when I belong to God than have a great week and not belong to Him. Amen. We're going to look at a scripture in this John chapter 7, verse 37. The scripture says this: in the last day, that great day of feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Lord, now be with us. Help all distractions leave. Let he, the Holy Spirit, teach us what we need today. Let your name be honored. Let your name be glorified. In Christ's name, amen. I have some good news for you folks as you're being seated. Next Sunday is supposed to be 60 degrees. Amen. Woo! That might even thaw out the snow on the north side of the building. Amen. You say, well, I don't mind. I don't either. I'm thankful for whatever the Lord gives us. Amen. And I'm thankful that He gives us salvation through His Son. This is a story of, and you think, well, what in the world brings this about? This is a story that Christ Jesus was coming to the feast. Now, the feast we can read about in verse 2, it's the Feast of the Tabernacle. And his brothers wanted him to go to that feast so the whole world could know him, because the Bible said even his own brothers didn't believe him yet. And so he says, no, my time's not yet come. But in the middle of the feast, in the middle of it, in verse 14, he shows up in the middle of the feast. And he goes to the temple. And he starts to declare God's word. Let me tell you something about God's word. You preach the word of God, something's going to happen. Something great's going to happen, or something great's going to happen. But something's going to happen. And so when he started to share the word of God, which he is the word of God, they were shocked that he was unlearned, but yet he knew so much about it. Well, let me tell you this. He was it, amen? And so they started accusing, well, this has got to be Christ. This has got to be he that we're looking for. Others say, oh, no, it's not Christ. If it was Christ, he'd do more miracles. Well, I remember what John said. If they recorded everything that Christ did while he was on the earth, there wouldn't be books enough to contain him. Amen? And so they go on. Well, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, of course, they didn't like him. And they didn't want anything to do with him. And I know him being God, trying to deal with his creation, don't you know he probably got pretty frustrated? I mean, they were trying to kill him. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to shut him up. But you can't shut up God. I love people that don't want anything to do with God. I love to be a witness to him. And they say, I wish you'd leave me alone. I don't want to leave you alone because I want you to heaven with me. And that's just plain and simple. I want you to have a life in Jesus Christ. And well, I don't want one. Well, I know you don't right now, but you will. Amen. And this is what this heart campaign is about. It's reaching out to people and encouraging them in the love of God and how much God loves them and wants to be their God. And so he starts to work with them and he starts to try to help them with their need. And yet they didn't have any concern with it. But yet in his probably frustration with them, he looks to him and he says, at the end, the Bible says, at the end of the feast, we saw the beginning, we see the middle, now we see the end. He says, at the end of the feast, you guys can't figure out what's going on here, is basically what he's saying. And he's saying, you know you don't understand this, because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, amen? And his ways are higher than our ways. But he says, I'm going to put it down here like this. If any man thirsts, when he says man, he means mankind. If anyone thirst, be it man, woman, boy, or girl, come unto me, and I will give you drink. And he says, and that water will be an everlasting water. I love water. I have water over here. I have water here. I have water back at my desk. I have two bottles of water in my car. I drink water all the time. I love water. I even can drink Enid water. Now, that's a hardcore water drinker right there, amen. It's like those people that drink coffee, and the coffee's so strong, it literally crawling out of the cup, but yet they drink it anyway. Well, that's the way I am with water. I love water. You know, there's some statistics that I asked my son to look up this week, and we're talking about the water in the body, body water. And, you know, water is very important for the body, for the human body. It's contained in the tissues, in the blood, in the bones, and elsewhere. And the water is very important to our livelihood. The water makes up a significant fraction of the human body, it tells us, both in weight and in volume. And we know that our body, a normal person, holds about is made up about 60% water. Now, some people don't drink water anymore, so they're 60% Pepsi or Dr. Pepper or Coke. And if they're really watching their diet, they're 60%, you know, zero something or other, you know. What is it that you like, Amber? Diet Coke? Okay. Your friend likes something else. I couldn't remember. Sprite Zero. And I say zero on the Sprite myself. I don't like Sprite, but yeah. But, you know, they're made up of that. But yet the body needs water. It's important for the body to have water, because if the body is starved of water, functions in the body begin to cease. And you become sick. You become delusional. Amen. You become unable to control yourself. And this is what I find out with Christ Jesus. He said, come to me and I will give you living water. Now, as far as the world is concerned today, I think the world is thirsty. And I'm not talking about for drink or anything like that. But I think the world is thirsty for relief. And this relief, they don't understand what it is. As these people in John chapter 7 couldn't understand what he was talking about. But yet, God knew what they needed. And this is the way it is with our heart campaign. You know, we sang the song last week, How About Your Heart? Is It Right With God? Is that important? Yes, because people that you're going to come in contact with don't understand what they really need in life. They're filling their life up with so many things, but yet it's not happening for them. And they're not finding what they want. This world thirsts for happiness. I know we're not going to do this Miss America or Miss World, you know. All I want's peace on earth, you know. Yeah, that's not going to happen, you know. And all this other stuff. But the world is thirsty for happiness, Brother Mike. You ask a person, what do you want? I just want to be happy. I want to be happy. And so what does the devil do? He tries to provide something that they think might bring happiness. That's why we have so much junk in our garages and in our attics and in our five storage bins we're renting every month over here on whatever, amen? Because the world wants happiness. They get their kids everything that their kids want, yet their kids aren't satisfied or happy. The world, this world's thirsty for happiness. They look through it for happiness in so many ways. We see that they look through it through drugs and through the bottle and I mean, it just, they're getting into, well, none of that's bringing me happiness, so what we'll do is we'll go into spiritualism. Let me tell you something. The spiritualism of this world will not bring you happiness. It'll bring confusion and heartache. Boy, these shows popping up all over the television, this Long Island Medium and this other lady that goes around talking to the dead. They want people to talk because they want to find happiness in their life. My friends, you don't go to find happiness to a devil. You go find happiness to God. Amen? Amen. And this is why the people can't seem to grab hold of it. They try to find happiness in their homes, and they try to find happiness in their TVs and in their automobiles and their motorcycles and their camping and in this program, in that program. They're thirsty for happiness, but yet at the end of the day, at the end of the season, they're back where they were before. That's all it is. They're back in the same place they were before. They're like in a rut. And how many knows what a rut is? It's a grave with both ends knocked out of it. That's what a rut is. And so they can't seem to grasp hold of it. Man, they chase that money. And money's good. Don't get me wrong. If you think money's evil, send it my way and we'll take care of it. Amen? But the love of money's evil. So what's evil? But also know in the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible tells us that if you chase after silver, you'll never have enough silver. If you chase after profit, you'll never seem to find enough profit, you see. So they're hungry, they're thirsty for happiness, and yet they can't find it. You look at these teenagers today, bless their heart, and some of them don't even make it to their teenage years. The suicide rate in our children, what is up with that? When we were kids, that was the last thing that came up in our mind. Amen? I mean, I don't remember maybe just one person doing that. But in our blessed town, good night, nurse. How many of those precious children have just said, I'm sick of it, and checked out? Boy, they're just so thirsty for happiness, but they don't know where to find it. I know that there is those who are thirsty for love. They're really thirsty for love. There's kids that are actually thirsty for love, and they want somebody just to reach down and properly hug them. Amen. I have to say that today because I tell you what, there are becoming a lot of weirdos out there. Amen. These kids at our church, when my wife and I line up at the door over there, I can't tell you how many hugs I get. I even get them from the older folks too, and that's okay. But they just want somebody to hug them and love them, right? You know what I'm saying? They're hungry for love. Mom and Dad never tells them love. That's how come I stress to the church and to our preacher before me. Tell somebody you love them. And mean it from your heart. I told one guy one day I loved him and it scared him. And it was another preacher. I said, brother, I just want to tell you I love you. Well, I think a lot of you too. I thought I was dealing with Porky Pig there for a minute. That's all, folks, you know. But you know, even old rough fellas want to know somebody loves them, amen. I want to tell you something. I don't care who you are. God loves you personally, amen. Oh, I love that now. Let me tell you right now. And I want to tell you something. I'm man enough to wear this heart tie. I've been getting a lot of trouble about this heart tie. But my wife makes me wear it, you know. But I'm man enough to wear it. I'm man enough to, and I want to tell you something. I'm man enough to tell you right now. I love you. I love you. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't be here. If I didn't love you, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I love you. You know, God gives the only pure love, though. In the book of John chapter 15, would you just join me just a second? In the book of John chapter 15, I usually like to say about right now, I'm about finished, but then that means I got 45 minutes more to go, so I won't say that. In John chapter 15, here's what the Bible says in verse 11. He says, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy, this is Jesus speaking, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I loved you. Greater love hath no man than these, that a man lay down his life for his friends, and ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. My friends, God tells me that he loves us, and we need to show love to others just as he showed love to us. You say, oh, you don't know the people I hang around. If you have to make that statement right there, I'm telling you right now, those are the people that need love shown to them. They really do. They need a change of life. I'm not going to say once you get saved, everything's hunky-dory. How many of you here saved this morning? How many's never had trouble in their life since they got saved? Now let me ask you something. How many has had trouble in your life since you've been saved? But how many, come on now, how many did the Lord go with you through that? Amen? And you came victorious out on the other side. He says, because you're my friend, I love you, I give my life for you. That's what he said. No greater friend has any other than someone who laid down their life for him. And Jesus did that on the cruel cross. Amen. And he did it so he could save the lost soul from being lost. Amen. Oh, that's a good poem, wasn't it? The book of Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says something that we need to understand. In the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 8, the Bible is very clear. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My friends, this morning, God loved you so much. Even though you're a sinner, even though I'm a sinner, amen, his love for us was so great and so powerful, he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross, to be buried and raised again the third day, so we could have eternal life with him in heaven. My friends, people thirst for love, and there's not going to be any other love like God's love. You know, we have friends and we tell them we love them. But how many's had a friend tell them they love them and they'll never leave their side, they'll always be faithful friends with them, that they're gone. Amen? They're gone. Well, where's the friendship at? Where's the love you promise? Some folks make commitments to one another. I'll love you for eternity. And then one goes off and just runs off and leaves the family. Where's the love at? Where's the love? Parents will say they love their children, but yet will have nothing to do with their children. Let me ask you something. Where's the love at? But when God says, I'll love you, you know what? He doesn't go anywhere because he's right in here. He stays with us. His love is a continual love. His love will be with us until that day we step into glory. Amen. We thank God for his love. People thirst for love. And then there are those who thirst for eternal life. I think more people would thirst for eternal life if more people knew about eternal life properly. They get these jokers that go to church on Sunday, and they're one way at church, but the rest of the week they're something else. Amen? And then they'll go back to church and oh, they're all holy again. But come Sunday afternoon, if they don't come back Sunday night, come Sunday afternoon, they're back to their old ways. And then we wonder why more people don't come running to the church, come running to God's altars and let Jesus Christ save them. I put the blame on us Christians. That's who I put the blame on. I really do. If someone claims to be a child of the living God and they're one way on a Sunday and something else on the rest of the week, I wish they wouldn't say they're part of the children of God. Amen. It just hurts the cause, doesn't it? But I tell you what, people would thirst for life if more Christians would start acting like Christians, showing up like Christians, amen, thinking like Christians, and talking like Christians. I think about in the book of Acts, would you just join me just for a second? Over in the book of Acts, there's this man. And this man was no dummy. He was an intelligent man. And word had already gotten down to him in Ethiopia of Jesus. He worked for the queen, Candace. She was the queen of Ethiopia. And he had much power there. And so I'm sure he asked the queen of Ethiopia, Queen, would you let me go up to Jerusalem? I've heard of this man, Jesus. I heard he does things different. Would you allow me? He had enough authority that the queen said, go ahead and go. I think God was behind it from the get-go. And so he came up to Jerusalem, the Bible says, for to worship. He didn't know what he was doing. He just knew I was supposed to be going up to Jerusalem. There's a man there named Jesus that died and was buried, and that he rose again the third day. And I want to know more about this. The Bible said that he left Jerusalem as empty as he came. But he had a writing in his hand. And I want to tell you something, that writing couldn't have been cheap. It's not like going to a retail store and just picking up a, you know, $10 Bible. He probably paid some pretty good money for that. And so on his chariot ride back to Ethiopia, he begins to read this manuscript. But God had already prepared his salvation to him. He already brought up Philip out of revival and took him into a desert place, and God says, go meet up with that guy. Something great's going to happen to him. Now, this is all paraphrased, okay? Something great's going to happen to that man today. And so he gets up there, sees he's reading. He says, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how in the world am I going to understand unless someone show me? How do you people expect somebody to know the right way to heaven? Because they don't understand the Word of God unless you show them. Okay. And he began from the beginning. And he told them of God's love. And how he could have eternal life. And that day on that chariot, he got gloriously saved. Amen. God came into his life. He was a newborn creature in Christ Jesus. And what did they do? Well, the first step of obedience after salvation is what? Baptism. He says, what do I need to do now? Well, you need to be baptized. For your salvation? No! Because of your salvation. Amen? Amen. I think about another man who wanted, who was thirsty for life eternal. In the book of Luke chapter 25. My friends, you don't want to get this close. What did I say, Luke 25? There's no Luke 25, you silly people. Let's go to Luke 23. Don't do this to yourself. This guy waited until he was at the point of death. Don't do that. Let Jesus come into your heart today. Amen. The Bible says this in Luke chapter 23. Jesus Christ is hanging on the cross. He had one malefactor on the right, one malefactor on the left. They said, if you be Christ, save us. In verse 39. Luke 23, 39. If thou be Christ, save us. One of them says, if you're Christ, get us off this stupid cross. We don't want to die. The other malefactor said this. He says, now you be quiet now. He rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. He says this. Now, everybody knows what goes around comes around. Amen? As you sow, that shall you also. He says, now I want to tell you something. Can you imagine these two guys up here nailed talking to each other? One of them saying, hey, if you're God, get off. The other one's over here saying, dude, shut up! Don't you fear God? Oh, if I could get off this cross right now, I'd show you something, you know. Well, get off. See what you can do to me, you know. And they're bickering back and forth. He says, don't you fear God? We deserve to be here. I'm telling you what, that's deathbed confession right there, amen? Because I'm sure while they're being nailed, we didn't do it, we didn't do it. Yeah, we did. But Christ in the middle, he's done nothing. He says, I know it, you know it. These dumb people down here that nailed it, they know he did nothing. He did nothing. Here's what he said. And he said unto the Lord Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He thirsts for life eternal. And on literally his deathbed, he let Jesus Christ come in. You know how many people say, right before I get ready to die, I'll ask Jesus in my heart? You know how many people make it to heaven? Not very many. Boy, if Jesus Christ is offered to you today, take him as your personal Savior. Amen? You're thirsty for life eternal. And then my last point, the woman at the well, my last sub-point. In John chapter 4, we know the story here. This lady didn't even go to the well when the other ladies did because she would have been ridiculed. She was hated. But yet God's love brought him to that well, sat him on the side there, and he started talking to her about what? Come on! About water. Amen? It sort of takes us full circle. If any man thirst, let him ask of me. Amen? And then from that water from the well, he took her to the water from his well. Amen? That day, she got gloriously saved. She left the buckets there at the well. She ran back down into the city, and nobody could shut her up. She says, come, see a man that told me everything that I've done. This is the Christ. And this needs to be for you and I that know Jesus Christ as our Savior. If truly Jesus lives in our heart, we have to be, as the scripture said, it's got to be a water that's bubbling up from our soul, amen? The Holy Spirit that's bubbling up, that we cannot keep our mouth quiet, but we have to say, please come to Jesus. Would you come to church with me when you get around to it, amen? Amen? For those of you here on Wednesday nights, you know what I'm talking about. Would you promise me you'll come to church when you get around to it? Oh, when I get around to it, I promise you, I will come. Well, here's around to it. Come to church. Amen? My friends, Jesus gives the living water. Now, I drink this water. That's pretty good, but I'm still thirsty. When I let Jesus Christ come into my heart, I want to tell you something. I never had to go ask him to be saved again. I'm just as saved as I was that evening, Sunday evening. I got my old bony knees on that altar and I cried out, God, save me. And he did, and he still is. And he's going to until I check out here, amen. And then instead of being saved, I will be safe in the arms of Jesus. Amen. Christians, what are you telling folks? Are you telling them anything? Lost folks, don't you want Jesus in your heart this morning? Don't you want him to come in and know that when you pillow your head tonight, that you're saved? Amen. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. There's nothing more beautiful sounding than that. Amen. How would you like to hear this? I'm saved. Or how would you like to hear this? I'm lost. Which sounds positive? Saved. Which sounds negative? And that's exactly what it is. Let's all stand with our head bowed and our eyes closed. No one looking around, please.